Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Thank you, thank you. Well, we could go home now and we had church, right? We had church. In the 70s, when I first came back to the Lord, I was with a ministry that we started about 12 Jesus clubs. That was my first days working with kids. We started about 12 Jesus clubs all over the LA area, the area a little bit west of Watts in the 70s when all the riots were going on. Yeah. Anyway, and these little kids would go, "We want to have church." I loved it. Anyway, everybody good?
Yeah.
Why don't you just lean over to your sister that's sitting by you and just tell her quickly, not your whole life story, just tell her quickly one thing that you've learned from this series. It's been an amazing series. Would you agree? Just tell her one, lean over, tell her one thing. I tell you, last week, Pastor, Dr. Reverend, Vanessa, we were so full, we were burping, right?
Yeah.
We were so full, we were burping. When she passed out that 3.5 page thing of scriptures and then proceeded to go through each one of them, I was like, whoa. But you know what? That's the word of God. She gave us more than enough, more than enough. And this whole series, this is the sixth week now in this series, The Journey of Faith. Journey of Faith. Have you been getting something? Gosh, we've had Pastor Jess starting us out with Don't Have Kite Faith. I can talk. Have Brick Faith. Have your name written on a brick. Stand strong in the will of God. And then she exhorted us to pray prayers that would scare us. I'm going to kind of refer to that a little bit today, too. To live by faith. And Pastor Deborah, you know, just exhorted us with that our role is to believe. Our role is to believe, and that God wants to give us our desires. I'm going to miss her on that a little bit more today, too. And then Dr. V last week, oh my gosh, let's see, how many points did she have? But did you knock some of those faith busters in the teeth? Yes. Nobody's got, is infected with that anymore. So I want to talk to you tonight, today, this morning, on adding faith to your hope. I want to talk to you a little bit about hope and what that looks like, and adding faith to your hope, and how it has to start with hope, but then you've got to mix it with faith for it to profit you. And so many times I think that's why that was kicking around in me about the condemnation and the low self-image, because some of us honestly don't even know what we want. We've kind of been afraid to go there. Maybe you grew up in a household that, you know, I remember every Christmas, I had six brothers and sisters, so when we were little, you know, we didn't have a lot. My dad advanced in his career and ended up in a very good position as I was older. But when I was little, every Christmas, we got a new stuffed toy and a pair of footy pajamas. And we were just so thrilled with our footy pajamas, and we'd run all around the house with our new stuffed toy, and that was Christmas. You know, we didn't know any better. Then we got in school and found out, oh, other kids get real stuff. But anyway, somebody asked me one time, you know, what I felt about something, or what I liked, what my interest was in that area. And I thought, I haven't even gone there, you know? And sometimes I think we're almost afraid to dream dreams because of lost dreams and lost hopes. And the man that we once dreamed about and loved, and he was our knight in shining armor, came and went, you know, along with the armor. And so we've, you know, if you've been on the planet for a while, you've experienced some things that can really cause you to have a setback. But I want to talk to you today about getting very specific with your dreams and daring to believe. Like Pastor Jess exhorted us a few weeks ago, pray some scary prayers that might be scary to somebody else, but it's a desire of your heart, and it's been in there. You know, I like to say it a lot that how God ministered to me one day that he was my personal Lord and Savior. You know, he's your personal Lord and Savior. He knows you. He knows the very desires of your heart. He knows the little whims. He knows what food you like and you don't like. He knows that you should be eating more vegetables. No, but anyway, he knows everything about you. And there's a uniqueness about you that sets you apart from anyone else. And that's not to be better than. That's not to be less than. That's to be uniquely created in his image for a purpose on the planet. And if we would get a little bit more focused on how he's designed us and what he's designed us to do, we would be doing a whole lot more for the kingdom. Do I hear an amen?
Yes.
Amen, amen. Well, in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, it says, and this is, you know, I praise God, honestly. I know our pastors comment sometimes that they're, you know, how long are we going to be in Hebrews? But I don't know. They've been hitting a lot of things through the book of Hebrews, and it's been a delight to me. I know we've been in it, what, 6 years or something incredible like that, or 10, or I don't know.
6 years.
But in Hebrews 11, 1, 3, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It has substance. Fred Price used to say it has a heavenly materiality. I like that. It's a force. You want something from God, you've got to give him faith. There's a rate of exchange there that Pastor Deborah's taught us about. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. The spoken word of God was conceived in God's heart. He spoke the word. That was Jesus. Jesus is the word. The Bible says in John 12, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And then on down it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Excuse me, that's in John 1, but verse 12 through 14. Anyway. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the things that we see were not made by the visible. The visible was made from the invisible. The visible was made from the invisible. You need to just sit yourself under a tree and think about that. Everything that is visible, the trees we see, the earth we stand on, even the weather patterns before the enemy got involved, the boundaries of the ocean, all that was created by the invisible. And actually, as we've said around here a lot, the invisible is more real than the visible because it preceded the visible. So, the thing called faith in God's word and believing that and speaking that causes that thing that is invisible, that's in your heart, that is a desire, that is something you hope for, to come into reality, just like God created the earth. We're created in his image. We're patterned after him. He's even at the point of new birth caused faith to be given to our hearts. It says in Romans 12, 3, that we've all been given the measure of faith. And I believe it was Dr. Vanessa mentioned it last week. It's a muscle we have to exercise, though. So we all have a level playing field. I love it. You might have had a very prosperous background. Most of us, not so much so. You might have been well educated. Most of us, not so much so. But it doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, we have a level playing field, and he's given us a measure of faith that we can exercise, that we can dream, that we can desire, and we can bring that which is invisible into the visible in the name of Jesus. Now, it's God and sons. It's a cooperative effort, so you're not just, you know, creating a whole new world. But anything that he's promised you, you can have. You can have, baby girl. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can have it, baby girl. Romans 4:17, the last part says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Faith is calling things, the King James says, that be not as though they were. It's the cart before the horse. You've got to believe it. You've got to see it. Believe it. Confess it. Let it be a reality in your heart and your mind, and then you'll have it. And that's faith. If you already have it, you don't need faith. It's a fact. It's in your grubby little paw. But faith is calling things that be not as though they were, and causing it, allowing it to become a reality in your life. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, what do you desire? What are you hoping for? That's something you need to spend some time with God and just talk to him about that. It's not based on your past. Every day is a new day. He says his mercies are new every morning. So I don't care who dumped you or who is in your life right now that's being unfaithful or whatever. You sit at the very throne of God, which he's told you to come boldly before his throne of grace, and you talk to him. You talk to Daddy God, who opens doors that no man can open and closes doors no man can close. I like it says man. I kind of like that. But anyway, and you sit at his footstool and you talk to him about what you desire in your life in line with the word of God. Now, I'm not talking about 10 million oil wells or somebody else's husband or anything stupid.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. But it's finding what his word is and his will is for you and then receiving it because he wants you to have it more than you want to have it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we've got to work on, ladies. We've got to chisel away and let the Holy Spirit deal with that low self-image. Well, so in 1984, yeah, February 7th, 1984, a man named Mike Bryan asked me to marry him. And we have this tradition in our family that my mom started. She made her wedding dress actually out of a World War II parachute. And so I have three sisters and three brothers. I was the last, almost the last child to get married, but I was the last of the sisters to get married. And every one of them had made their own wedding dress. That was a family tradition. So, of course, I had to make my own wedding dress. Well, it started out, I wanted to wear my mom's wedding dress because I was the only one that was her same build. But she had let my baby sister play dress-ups with it for years, so it was just shredded. I was like, really, Mom? I imagine my whole life wearing your wedding dress. So I took some patterns. You know, this is actually the pattern that was used for my bridesmaids. The pattern for my wedding dress is off in the shed. But anyway, I took a couple patterns. This is how a pattern looks. First, I saw my mom's wedding dress. That was my vision. That's what I wanted my dress to look like. That was my desire. That was my vision. I wanted my dress to look like her dress. And it was very fitted, drop waist with little gathers around and a bow at the waist. And little cap sleeves. I wanted my sleeves to be a little bit different, but anyway, because it was the 80s, you know, big sleeves, anyway. But I found a couple patterns, and I put them together, and I made my own wedding dress. Well, first I had the vision of her wedding dress. That helped. But then, you'll have to excuse me, this was boxed up very nicely at one point, but a few years ago, for a GNO, we did a fashion show, and Stacy Cobray wore this. That's how thin I was. Okay? You guys pray for me. That's how thin I was. But anyway, so it's kind of got grass stains at the bottom of it and everything, but I made my wedding dress, and I even covered the little buttons in back. Isn't that cute? But anyway, and so I had it was kind of drop-waisted, and I had this sash at the waist, and it resembled, except for the sleeves, it very much resembled my mom's wedding dress, and so this was my wedding dress, and but I had the vision of her wedding dress, and then I took some patterns and put them together and styled it after her wedding dress. That was my vision. So what a pattern does for you is a pattern is your blueprint. You lay it all out, you cut all of the fabric, and you sew it together, and while you're sewing it together, you can almost be tempted, like, really? This is going to make what I want? But you have faith that that's a good pattern. And then eventually, putting it all together, you have your vision. You have your vision materialized. But you've got to first see it. You know, when I would look for patterns when I was making dresses, prom dresses and that kind of thing in high school, yeah, I started making my own dresses in junior high because I was tired of my older sister's hand-me-downs. Yeah, anyway. But I would, you know, I'd look through the patterns and I would see a pattern that's how I wanted my prom dress to look. And that was my vision. And then, again, you take the pattern pieces, you sew them all together, and eventually you have what you have desired, what you have seen. You have the reality of that. It's not just on paper, it's not just a picture, but you have the reality of that. And that's how faith brings into reality what you hope for. I want to read this story by Dr. Cho. It's a little bit long, so you're going to have to bear with me. But he wrote this in his book called The Fourth Dimension. He started out, he was very, very poor, from very poor background. I believe it was a Buddhist background in South Korea. And he eventually built a church of over 1 million people, the largest church in South Korea. And to date, it is the largest Assemblies of God church in the world. But he said, I've been in the ministry for quite a few months and was so poverty stricken that as far as material things were concerned, I had nothing. I was not married. I was living in a small rented room. I had no desk, no chair, and no bed. I was eating on the floor, sleeping on the floor, and studying on the floor, walking miles and miles everywhere to do so. Soul winning. But one day while reading my Bible, I was tremendously impressed by God's promises. We need to be impressed with His promises. The Bible said that if I would just put my faith in Jesus, praying in His name, I would receive anything I asked for. The Bible also taught me that I was a son of God, a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I said, Father, why should a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords live without a desk, chair, and a bed, and also walk mile after mile every day? At least I should have a humble desk and a chair to sit on and a humble bicycle to ride on to do my home visitation. I felt that according to the scripture, I could ask for these things, these kinds of things from the Lord. I knelt down and prayed, Father, now I am praying. Please send me a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. I believed and praised God for the things I'd asked for. For that moment, I waited for the delivery of each thing I had prayed for. A month passed with no answer. Then 2 months, 3 months, four, five, and six, and I was still waiting. Nothing happened. Then one rainy day, I was really depressed. Not having any food that evening, I was so hungry and tired that I started complaining. Lord, I asked you to supply me with a desk, a chair, and a bicycle several months ago, but I have not received any of these things. You know that I am preaching the gospel to this poverty-stricken people of this slum area? How can I ask them to exercise faith when I cannot even practice it myself? How can I ask them to put their faith in the Lord and truly live by the word and not by bread alone? My Father, I am very discouraged. I am not sure about this, but I do know I cannot deny your word. The word must stand. And I'm sure that you are going to answer me. But this time, I'm just not sure when or how. If you are going to answer my prayer after my death, what kind of prophet will that be for me? If you are ever going to answer my prayer, please speed it up, please. Then I sat down and began to cry. Suddenly, I felt serenity and a feeling of tranquility come into my soul. Whenever I have that kind of feeling, a sense of the presence of God, He always speaks to my spirit, so I waited. Then that still small voice welled up in my soul, and the Spirit said, My son, I heard your prayer a long time ago. Right away, I blurted out, Then where are my desk, chair, and bicycle? Then the Spirit said, You and all my children beg me, demanding every kind of request, but ask in vague terms, and that is why I do not answer. Don't you know that there are dozens of kinds of desks, chairs, and bicycles? You simply asked for a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. You did not ask for a specific desk, a specific chair, and a specific bicycle. That was one turning point in my life. No professor in the Bible college ever taught me along these lines. I had made a mistake, but it was an eye-opener for me. Then I said, Lord, do you really want me to pray in definite terms? This time the Lord led me to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things, clear-cut things, hoped for. I knelt down and prayed again. Father, I am sorry. I made a great mistake. I understand you. I cancel all past prayers. I'll start all over again. This time I gave him the size of the desk that I would like and that it was to be made of Philippine mahogany. I wanted the best kind of chair, one made with an iron frame with rollers on the tips so that when I sat on it, I could push myself around like a big shot. Then I came to the bicycle and I really gave some consideration to this, to the matter, because there were so many kinds of bicycles, Korean, Japanese, Formosan, and German. In those days, bicycles made in Korea or Japan were quite flimsy. I wanted to have a very strong, sturdy bicycle. And since my machine, any machine made in the United States was the best, at that time, I think this was 1964. Father, I want to have a bicycle made in the United States with gears on the side so that I can even regulate the speed. I ordered these things in such articulate terms that God could not possibly make a mistake in delivering them. Then I felt faith flowing up and out of my heart. I was rejoicing in the Lord that night and slept like a baby. When I woke at 4:30 a.m. to prepare for the early morning prayer meeting, oh my gosh. Anyway, I suddenly found that my heart was empty. The evening before, I had all the faith in the world. But while I slept, it seemed that faith took wings and left me. I might ever feel like that. I could not feel anything in my heart. I said, Father, this is terrible. It is one thing to have faith, but it is entirely different to keep that faith until I receive your answer. Amen? This is a problem that is common to all Christians. They hear a special guest speaker and they are filled with faith while he is ministering to them, but before they reach their homes, they have lost it all. It seems like their faith took wings and fled too. That morning, while I was reading my Bible, looking up for a particular scripture to speak on during early morning prayer, suddenly my eyes fell on Romans 4:17. God quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. My heart fastened itself to that scripture, and the truth began to stir in my heart. I said to myself, I might as well just call those things which are not as if they were, as if I already had them. I had received the answer to the problem of how to keep one's faith. I rushed out to our tent church where the people had already begun praying. And after a few songs, I started preaching. I expounded upon that scripture and then said, folks, by the blessings of God, I have a desk made of Philippine mahogany, a beautiful chair with an iron frame and rollers on the tips, and a bicycle made in the United States that has gears on the side. Praise God, I've received all these things. The people just gasped, because they knew that I was absolutely poverty-stricken. I was bragging about these things, and they could not believe their ears. By faith, I was really praising God, doing just as the Word of God told me to do. Remember Pastor Jess exhorted us at the beginning? You've got to praise Him. Praise Him, whether you feel like it or not. After the service, as I walked out, three young fellows followed me and said, Pastor, we want to see those things. I was taken aback and became frightened. I had not counted on having to show any of those things. These people were living in a slum area, and once they knew that I had lied, it would be my last time to minister here. They would never come back. I was in a terrible situation, so I began to pray to the Lord. Lord, from the beginning, this wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea for me to tell it like that. I just obeyed you, and now I'm in a terrible situation. I spoke as if I have those things, and now, how can I explain this? You've always got to help me. Then the Lord came and helped me with an idea. I said, you come to my room and see. They all came and they looked around to see the desk, chair, and bicycle. I said, don't look around, I'll show you later. I pointed my finger at Mr. Park, who is now a pastor of one of the largest Assemblies of God churches in Korea, and said, I'll ask you a few questions if you answer them. I'll ask you a few questions. If you answer them, I'll show you all those things. And then he proceeded, how long were you in your mother's womb before you were born? He scratched his head and said, well, 9 months. Then I asked, saying, what were you doing for 9 months in your mother's womb? Oh, I was growing. But I continued, no one saw you. No one could see me because I was inside my mother. It's not just a fetus, it's a baby. Then I added, you were as much a baby inside your mother's womb as you were when you were born into the world. You gave me the right answer. Last evening, I knelt down right here and prayed for that desk, chair, and bicycle, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I conceived them. It is as if they are inside me growing right now, and they are as much a desk, a chair, and a bicycle as they will be when they are seen by people at the time of their delivery. They started laughing and laughing. They said, this is the first time we've ever seen a man pregnant with a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. Then rushing out of my room, they began to spread the rumor all over town that the minister was pregnant with a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. I could hardly walk through town without women gathering to look at me and giggle. Mischievous youngsters would come up to me on Sunday, touch my stomach, and say, Pastor, look how big you are becoming. During those days, I knew every one of those things were growing in me. Just as it takes time for a mother to give birth to a child, it takes time for clear-cut objectives to come into reality. I continued to praise the Lord every day for the things I had asked for, and sure enough, when God's time came, I had every one of those things. I had exactly what I had asked for, a desk made out of Philippine mahogany, a chair made by the Japanese Mitsubishi company with rollers on the tips so that I could roll around when I sat on it, and a slightly used bicycle with gears on the side from a missionary's son. I brought the desk, chair, and bicycle home, and my entire prayer life changed. God had taught me a tremendous truth. Until this experience, I had always prayed in vague terms, but from that time until today, I never prayed in vague terms anymore. If God ever answered vague prayers, you would never recognize the vague prayer had been answered. For this reason, the Word of God specifically states, what things, be specific, soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. You must ask definitely and specifically. Now, we've learned a lot about trust around here. Wasn't that a good story?
Yeah.
Let me get a drink. We've learned a lot about trust here, and trust is required when there are unanswered questions. When you feel like you're pregnant with your dream and it still hasn't materialized. And so we learn a lot about trusting God. And certainly you can reach a place in your walk that He just seems to just meet the desires of your heart almost before you answer them. So there's growth, and there's places that you go in your walk. And I'm not going to say that this type of prayer covers every area specifically. But I think that we have a problem in receiving because we fail to dream. Or we don't dream according to God's heart and God's dream for us. We dream too small, or we have no expectation at all. Or we say, oh, God bless me, and we don't even know what that means. So I'm asking you today, what is your desire? What are you hoping for? Be specific with God. Sit at His feet and find out. As we read in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, believe that you receive them. You got to lock and load when you pray. Believe that you receive them, and then you'll have them. You've got to get pregnant with them first. In In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's desires that He's placed in you. Again, He is for you. He's not against you. He loves you more than you love yourself. And He knows what you are designed to do and what you can do if you'll just believe Him. And so that's why we teach so much on this, is because we do need to find out who we are and have a higher expectation of what we want God to do in our lives. Amen? Amen. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that
you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then it goes on to say, you'll make your own way prosperous and you'll have good success. But as Pastor Deborah's taught us, that imagination that God's given us, or she calls it our imaginer, that ability to observe to do what he's called us to do, observe to see what he desires for us to have, that is God-given and that is from him. That is where you get your hope. Amen?
Yeah.
So the next thing to ask yourself is, okay, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God? You know, I want God's will, and certainly another thought on that scripture, Psalm 37:4, is that he will give you the desires of your heart. Many times he gives you, he plants within you the desires of your heart, and you think it's you. I ministered to a girl actually just last week, and she was feeling guilty because she felt like what God was maybe leading her to do was just her, and it was kind of too big for her to imagine. Oh, I think this is just me, because I want to do it, and it couldn't be God, because God's going to have me do something I don't want to do. Well, yeah, he'll deal with your flesh if you're being stubborn or disobedient, but he had put a big vision in her heart, and it was him. And she just needed to believe that and get on board with that. And he will give you the desires of your heart, but the fact that you desire it many times is what he's put in there, because he's created you and called you since you were in your mother's womb. Amen? So what is the will of God for your life? Pastor Deborah quoted this a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin said that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So finding out the will of God in your life is, we emphasize that so much around here. You need to know the will of God for your life. And when you go to his word and you find what his word says, his general will for every area of your life, every area of your life, there's a principle, there's a story, there's a promise that covers that area. And you find it, and as you're reading it, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith rises in your heart. You can't believe God for something that is not his will for your life. Now, when it comes to the specific will of your life, do you work at Walmart or do you work at Target? I suggest Target. No, you know, whether you're praying about the specific will of God for your life, and there isn't a chapter and verse for that, then we know that Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the sons and daughters of God. The mature sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. And he leads us by peace. There's the inward witness that you got when you received Jesus. How do you know that you're going to heaven? I don't know. I just know. Well, that's your knower down on the inside. That green light, that yes, that amen, that peace, that umpire that says, that decides with finality what is the will of God. So when it comes to the specific will of God, do I marry this man? You find out first what the Bible says. It says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. If he's an unbeliever, he's off the list. Plain and simple. Off the list, ladies. Off the list. Well, I'm believing he'll get saved. Not while you're sleeping with him. Nope. Won't happen. Now you get serious about being obedient to God and move out. Not just out of the bedroom, but move out. And you'll see where his heart's really at. I love you, baby. I'm married in my heart. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So you find the general will of God first, and then you wait on God. Okay, he's saved. Okay, he loves God. But then you spend time in prayer, and you wait on God, and you say, God, is this your will? Am I having a leading to even get to know this guy better? And just because your flesh is yelling, yeah, that doesn't mean it's God. You know, and everything that sits in church ain't. Got it? So anyway, what I was first attracted to about my husband was that he was on the front row for the prayer meeting. He was on the front row for church and had his daughter sitting next to him. Yes, I married a man that had been married before. He'd been divorced for 10 years. And walked celibate with God for 10 years once he made a commitment to the Lord Jesus. And he was in church with his daughter, and she adored him. That was some pretty good fruit. And the Holy Spirit checked me to look at his character. I examined his character for quite a while and saw that he was a good guy, whether I was in the picture or not.
Come on.
And then God brought us alongside, and the rest is history, and there was that beautiful dress. But anyway. But turn to 1 John 5:14-15. Am I doing okay? Turn to 1 John 5. I love this verse. It's one of those that when I remember when I first read it, I went, where has it been hiding? I don't know about you, but when I came into a good Bible teaching church like this church, I was a little bit mad for a while. I probably should have breaking free because I'd been church my whole life and they'd never taught me this stuff. Anybody have that testimony? I was in church my whole life and all they said every Sunday was get saved and don't drink and things, you know, anyway. But anyway, it was all good. I received Jesus in that little church, so I'm good. Anyway, 1 John 5. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything. According to his will. Now that's the litmus test. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. His will is his word. His will is his word. This is his giant love letter to you, telling you how he feels about you, telling you what he wants for your life. His will is his word. So we could read it that way. And now this is a confidence. You can have confidence in your prayer life. That if we ask, that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word is his will, he hears us. You can have confidence. Father, I've prayed according to your will. You find chapter and verse. God, you promised me that you would meet all my needs. I have a need for a roof over the head of my family. Not one that we're subject to the landlord and having to move every 3 months when he raises the rent. But Father, I see in your word that you want to bring me into a strong place, a stable place. Father, it's the desire of my heart to have a home. That's a good desire. That's not going to shortchange heaven. So you talk to him about that and you say, Father, I see in your word that in Philippians 4:19, you promised to meet all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And see, then you have, he already promised that to you. So you're not talking him into anything. He's already told you what his will is. So you can go to that chapter. You can go to that verse when you're tempted to be full of doubt or fear that it's actually going to happen. And you say, Father, I thank you. You promised to meet all of my need. You said that if I ask anything according to your will is your word, that I have anything that I ask of you, that I can be confident that you hear me. And because you hear me, I have the petitions that I desire of you. His will is his word. So, but what do you do when your situation seems hopeless? What do you do when you have the report from the doctor that says X amount of weeks, X amount of months? Oh, maybe a year at the most. Or you have a relative, a close loved one, that they are just living for the devil, and your heart breaks every time you think about it. Your situation may seem completely hopeless. But you know, there was another man in the Bible that I'd say his situation was even more hopeless. And God did a miracle in his life, and he'll do that in yours. Romans 4:17-24. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. He will give life to that dead thing. That dead organ, maybe, that they're saying has to be removed. He is the miracle worker. He created everything you see out of nothing. So he can fix and heal and raise from the dead anything that is dead. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. The King James says, against hope, he had hope. He hoped against hope. If your situation is hopeless, you look to him for your hope. Contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, listen, this is the key, ladies. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, He didn't consider the circumstance. He didn't consider the report that he had about his body. He went to the doctor and he said, "You're too old. You can't do that. Viagra is not even going to work for you." No. Sorry. That was, scratch that from the tape. He did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She'd already been through menopause. She was already there. She was like 90. So it wasn't going to happen for her either. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, what God's promised you, you can't say, "Oh, I think that works for somebody else, but not for me." You can't waver at the promise. You go to the promise. 1 Peter 2:24, that says, "With Jesus' stripes, you were healed." Over 2,000 years, it's an established fact. What the stripes that paid for your eternal life also paid for your physical healing. God wants you alive on the planet until you've lived a long life and you're satisfied to do His will. Will you go to heaven if you've received Jesus and you die young? Absolutely. Paul says it's far better. I mean, to be with Jesus, are you kidding me? But God has a plan for your life. He has a call on your life. There's things He wants to do in you and through you that only you can do. So His goal is to keep us on the planet as long as He can to do that work. Yeah. Amen? How many have enlisted in God's army and you're choosing to be obedient and do what He wants you to do. Okay, that's half the hands. What do we got going on? I should have a big altar call today. Anyway, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform. What He had promised, He was able to perform. What God had promised, He was able to perform. What God promises us, He is able to perform, and not just able, but willing. He is the one that promised it. He is the one that preserved this through the eons of time for us to be able to read it, to know it, to believe it in our lives. And within the very words themselves is released the power to believe it and do it and live it. Are you with me? It's magical. Hebrews 4 says that it's active, it's operative, it's energizing. The Word of God is alive. It's a book like no other book. It cannot be compared to any other book. It can't even be compared to another history book. There's not one history book on the planet that has as much substantiated documents to prove it. If you can't believe the Bible, you can't believe one other account. I think there's like, I don't know, thousands of texts that validate every aspect of the Bible. And the best history book, I don't know, Josephus or some of the best history books that are out there have about maybe 60 documents that support their findings. This is God's Word. It's God's Word. Are you with me? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what He had promised He was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And now listen to this, girls, because this is where we are. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. No, 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 no. Why was this written? Why was it recorded? Why was it preserved by the martyr's blood? Why? It was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. This was recorded. It was written for us to tell us what could be more hopeless. 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman creating a whole nation. God took him out. Talk about giving him vision. God will give you vision. He will give you the hope. He will give you the dream. He'll give you the vision for what you want. He took Abraham out and he showed him the stars. He said, "Count the stars." Abraham said, "I can't count the stars. That's how many descendants I'm going to give you." He was an old man. When was it going to happen? He tried to help God with Ishmael. Boy, was that a mistake. We're still paying for that one. And then another time when he doubted, he took him out and to the coast and said, "As many as grains of sand." Think about how many grains of sand are in a little bucket. He said, "As many grains of sand as are on this beach, so shall your descendants be." God was giving him vision. God knows we need vision.
Yeah.
He said, "Without a vision, my people perish." So you've got to get a vision for what you want. What do you want? What is the desire of your heart? You want a physically strong body? Get in there. Find out about eating right and exercising and believing God's word for a healthy body, a strong body, all of the above. We've gotten so out of touch with what our bodies even need that we just pour junk in it. But anyway, that's another story. So Abraham did not consider the deadness of his situation or no hope. He considered God's word instead. I was talking to somebody the other day about a situation that I'm believing for. And I said, you know, when I try to figure out how God's going to do it, I struggle. I can't even think about that, how God's going to do it. But when I look to his promises, and I look to his word, and I know that he's God, and I know that I have a promise with him, and I know that he's going to do it, then I walk in faith, and I walk in joy, and I walk in peace. So we don't consider the deadness of your circumstances, but consider the promise that he's made you concerning that. Do your homework. Find what his word says. Dr. Vanessa gave you 3.5 pages of promises last week. And so get yourself a topical Bible and find what God has promised you. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Then number 4, have you asked the Father in the name of Jesus and received by faith? Get a vision. Let your desires be made known. Find where he promises that in your word. This was his specific wills. Wait at his feet and let him show you his design for your life. The next step. Many times, you're not going to know maybe the next 10 years. But he'll give you a direction. He'll give you a sense of what you're called to do. And I'll tell you, when you start walking in it, you just feel like a bug in a rug. You just have a sense that I was designed for this moment. And you can walk boldly in it. But have you asked the Father? We have to ask the Father in the name of Jesus and receive by faith. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God conceived the world in his heart, and then he spoke and said, let there be light. Let there be the heavens. Let the waters be separated from the ground. He spoke creation into reality. It's a force. Just as you would stick a plug into a light socket. It's a force that when your faith connects with the promise of God and you believe you receive it by faith, he says that you will have it. John 16:23-24 says, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he's speaking to us today. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you want to be full of joy today? We ask that we may receive. He tells us to ask because he wants us to receive, so that our joy may be full. I love John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life. Some of us are just doing a kind of a subsistence life. He says that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He's given us eternal life. If he returns today, we're going to heaven, and that's forever, and nothing can compare to that. But while we're here on the planet, he wants us to have an abundant life. That like in Proverbs 31, we can reach out with filled hands to the needy. He wants to meet our every need, and he wants us to dream big dreams. So here's what you do, ladies, according to Habakkuk 2:2-3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That may be what's going on in your life. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Write down what you desire, no matter how hopeless it seems. Get a picture either on the inside of you, or do like my daughter did, my stepdaughter years ago, post it on your refrigerator. When she was she was about 8 years old. When I married Mike, she was 12, and he said it had been going on for about 4 years. She decided that she wanted a black horse. And so she found a picture of a black horse, and it was on the refrigerator. When we got married, it was on the refrigerator. We moved the refrigerator to a new house. It came with the refrigerator. And she would go, every time she'd go in the kitchen, she'd walk by and she'd slap it on the hand. She was learning about faith. And she'd slap with her hand, she'd say, "Thank you, Father, for my black horse." Well, after we got married, I was trying to bond with my stepdaughter, trying to get to know her, her to know me, and God impressed me to, you know, I had to get to know her world. She wasn't going to try to find out mine. And so we signed up for English writing lessons, her and I together, and we would, after school, we'd have writing lessons. And God impressed me to get an agreement with her. Over her faith prayer. And my husband wasn't really happy about that. We had to talk about that. He said, "I want her to have a horse." And I said, "Well, if she believes God for it, God will make a way." So we just got, we prayed a scary prayer. And I came in agreement. We prayed, and I just kept encouraging her, you know, well, God's going to, you know, if you believe God, he's going to give you that horse. Well, she was 15 and a half. And my sister called from Kansas and said, "I think I have that horse for Chantel." And she had a little green broke horse. It wasn't broke yet. It was a little black horse. And she named him Whitney. And she trailered it out to California for us. And at 15 and a half, even before she could drive, Chantel had a horse. Wow. Well, so the first 6 months until she got her license, I would have to drive her to the boarding stable. But she got a job at McDonald's. And her every paycheck went to pay the board for that horse. And she broke it herself with a trainer helped her, but she broke it herself, which they say never buy a green broke horse for your child, the first horse they ever have. We did it all wrong, but God still covered it. She never got hurt. When we went back to Tulsa, Oklahoma a few years later when my husband wanted to go back to Rhema Bible Training Center back there. She was going to be in her senior year of high school, so we asked her, if you want, we'll wait another year because this is your senior year. And she said, "No, as long as my horse can go, I'm good." So we trailered her horse back there, and it was in pasture while we were back there. And then eventually she gave it back to my sister because she had a ranch in this ranch in Kansas, and she was going to, Chantel was going to go to college. So, but for many years she had Whitney, and he was a blessing in her life. But she believed God for that horse. And even beyond what her daddy wanted her to have. But get a vision, write it down, make it plain, see it. If you see a house that is your heart's desire, you know, believe God. There's a certain unique house that you might like that I wouldn't like. But God wants to give you the very desires of your heart. So what do you desire today? What are you hoping for? What is the will of God concerning your desire? Find that out. What if your situation seems hopeless? Go to God's word. Find his promise. Hope against hope. Smile, be sweet to that doctor or whoever's giving you that negative report. But then you go to God's word and you say, "Thank you, Father. I have inside information. I know what you've promised me. And I'm going to believe that I receive your will and your word for my life." Amen. And then ask the Father in the name of Jesus and receive it by faith. Did you get something today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.